God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, you, and you. Welcome, welcome one and all. Welcome to the Midweek Power Nugget, where 15 minutes of your day can change, will change. If you let the voice of God speak to you, it will absolutely transform your life. So grateful that God has allowed us to assemble together once more and again to be able to hear of His Word. His Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, if we allow it to be so. God loves us so much that He will tailor-make His Word for us, not just make us feel warm and fuzzy. He doesn't give us His Word to overlook what it is that we need to do in our own lives, but He gives us His Word in order for us to grow. He gives us His Word in order for us to take a good look at ourselves and become the bride of Christ, become the church without spot or wrinkle, not the church group, but you, the church. Let's pray. Gracious God, we love you today, and we thank you. Thank you for keeping us safe last night. Thank you for keeping us covered. Thank you for keeping us from hurt, harm, and danger. God, thank you for keeping our loved ones from danger, seen and unseen. Thank you, God, for keeping our heart beating through the night. And thank you for keeping us breathing through the night. And thank you for keeping our brain oxygenated, to keep our brain filled with oxygen so that we're able to do what it is that we need to do in the morning, God. Thank you for giving us the ability of our limbs. Thank you for even giving us the wherewithal to dial in on this morning to hear your word. You've done so many things, and that is just a very small subset of the things that you have done for us. Things so undeserved, but yet and still, you love us enough that you did it for us, and we will be forever grateful. Now, God, as we jump into your word today, speak to us. Use your word to change us. Use your word to transform us. Use your word, God, to cause us to take a good look at ourselves the way you look at us, God. And God calls us to have a desire change in who it is you've already created us to be. God, help us to understand that we don't have to fight to be who it is you want us to be. You have already created us to be that person, be that man, be that woman. So God, I pray that your word will do as it should do, and that is to illuminate to us the dark places that we need to put under the lens of your word, God, that we need to ask you to help us to store up, to help us to change, help us to eradicate the dark places, that we might be all that you have already created us to be. God, I pray that our ears and our hearts will be inclined to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we bless the Lord for each and every one of you who have counted in that robbery to dial in to hear what the Lord has to say to us on today. On this morning, our travels take us to 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. And we are going to read the first 12 verses. 2 Samuel 12, reading the first 12 verses. From the New American Standard Bible, it reads as follows. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except the one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nursed, and he grew up together with him and his children. And it would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and had no compassion. Nathan then said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is who anointed you king over Israel, and it is who delivered you from the hand of Saul, and also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like this. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companions, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight." Verse 12, "Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun." I won't read from another version, but I will read the first seven verses again. Maybe not the first seven verses, but I do want to read these few verses. So I'll just grab some verses. Again, I'm 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. I will start with the first verse. It says, "Then the Lord came to sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nursed, and it grew up together with him and his children. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man, and the word of the Lord is blessed." On this morning, with the few moments that I have left, I want to ask you a question. How well do you see yourself? How well do you see yourself? Oftentimes, you all, it is so easy for us to see the sin in somebody else, for us to see the error in someone else, for us to see how someone else could have handled a situation differently. But how easy is it to see that same flaw, that same characteristic, that same human nature in ourselves? That's really what this passage is about. It's a story that reveals the truth about human nature. The difficulty of recognizing our own faults, even as we judge others against the same fault. It can be so difficult to recognize our own shortcomings. I can only imagine David sitting in his palace, probably feeling pretty good about his latest battle wins. And here comes Nathan. And Nathan just out of nowhere starts to tell him a simple story. Maybe he's trying to get his advice on how to handle a situation that he's heard about in the providence that David is responsible for. And he tells a simple story, Nathan does. He tells a story about a rich man who, even though he had numerous sheep, he took the beloved lamb of a poor man to serve to somebody who came to visit him. And David's immediate response, his immediate reaction, is one of absolute indignation. He is incensed. He is burning with anger. He is demanding justice for the poor man. But you all, it's a mirror of ourselves. How quickly do we judge others? How sharp is our vision when it comes to the sins of others compared to our own? How well can we be in the secret? How well are we introspectively looking at ourselves? When we hear the word of God, are we always saying, so-and-so should have been here? Or are we sitting intently saying, God, show me you? My God, today. We ought to sit every time the word of God is going forth saying, God, show me myself. But so often, you all, human nature has us in such a way that that can't be us. Certainly, that's got to be cousin so-and-so. Certainly, I'm sure wish that so-and-so was here. Oh, they must be talking about so-and-so. No, David, we're talking about you. The amazing thing about it is David is getting more and more angry, and then Nathan delivers the blow that nobody wants to hear, that just tears up their ego, tears up their self-view of themselves. He delivers that piercing blow and says, you are the man. For many others who are not reading the word, they just may be looking at this as a dramatic presentation. It's one of those dramatic reveals you expect to hear that music that you would hear. But truth be told, you all, this is the word of God. This actually occurred. Nathan ends up telling David, you're the one. You're the one that's caught up in hypocrisy. You're the one. You're the one that has done this. You took the precious jewel from Uriah, took it as your own when you had women more wives in this town. When you have property, more than you can count, when you have men that are under your own command, you are the man. David is forced to confront this hard truth about himself. And it really, you all, we should look at this as a challenge that each one of us faces. Can we see our own sins as clearly as we see others? Are we as quick to judge ourselves as we are to judge our friends, our family, our co-workers, somebody that we just see in our passing by during the day? They know better than to wear that. Oh God, why is he talking like that? I know he knows more words than that. What about you when you got angry? What about you when you just ran out to the store briefly and you wore something you said you normally don't go out in public with? We come up with all kinds of justifications. I was just running to the store. I didn't want to change clothes for that. They shouldn't have tried me. I wouldn't have had to cuss them out like that. We have all kinds of justifications for getting still. We don't try to come up with reasonable rationale for the people that we judge. But you all, there are consequences for our actions. I don't care what our reasoning or rationale is. There are consequences, just like it was for David. And God, through Nathan, he laid out the consequences of David's actions. His sin led to suffering, not for him, just for himself, but for his whole household. You all, this passage, this part of the scripture reminds us of the ripple effect of our actions. What are the consequences of our sins? Not just on us, but on those around us. I want you to think about the last time you were quick to judge somebody else. Did you hold yourself to that same standard? You all, this scripture is a call for self-examination. It's so easy to play judge. But as believers, we are called to judge ourselves first. It's Matthew 7. It tells us to first take the plank out of our own eye before we can see how to get the speck or help to remove the speck out of our brother's eye. I want you to really ask yourself, how do I really see myself? How well do I see myself? And am I willing to accept God's correction and change my ways? You all understand that God is expecting us to see ourselves even better than we see others. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we love you today and we adore you. God, we thank you for this word. Thank you for reminding us that before we point fingers, God, we got to take the other four fingers and look at, see that they're pointing them, pointing to ourselves. God, help us to see us the way you see us. And then, God, under the lens of that grace that you so graciously give, help us, God, to submit ourselves that you may do your work in us. God, help us to be your change agents today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazing week. God bless that. In Jesus' name.